Welcome back to Good Food on KCRW. I'm Evan Kleiman.
It's very nice because the spinach is, the colors are pretty. I haven't any idea how Italians do it, but...
In 1970, Julia Child made a stunning admission on her show, The French Chef. She didn't understand how the Italians assemble lasagna. She even substituted cottage cheese for ricotta. Needless to say, we've come a long way since then.
Because now everyone's familiar with lasagna. Everyone in the U.S. has had it, or as you mentioned, had a frozen slice in their freezer.
Anna Hiesel is a senior editor at Taste and author of a book titled Lasagna. I'm talking with her all about this layered pasta dish and how it's made its way into our hearts. Hi.
Hi, Evan. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's such a pleasure. And lasagna for me is such a personal thing. I come to it with this bifurcated emotional attachment. There's the mid-20th century gut bomb lasagna made with thick, wavy noodles and filled with cheeses and sauces. And then, of course, during all the time I spent in Italy from teenagehood on, I became very deeply attached to lasagne, plural, because it's referring to noodles, not the dish, made with much thinner pasta and often strangely lightened with bechamel.
Yeah, it has sort of a lighter, more delicate feel to it, doesn't it?
Completely, even though... it's not like bechamel isn't rich.
It's a little bit deceptive. There's something about the silkiness to it, though, that sort of tricks you into thinking you're eating something a little bit lighter.
Yeah, and I also think that in some strange way, it is a faster and easier way to actually eat lasagna, like on a weeknight. But let's get to that later. What are some theories of where the name lasagna actually comes from?
There are a lot out there. Some people believe that it comes from this baking dish that was part of Greek cooking called lasagna, that was sort of like a really early version of a casserole dish. There's also a theory that it came from this really early 1st century AD cookbook by a Roman author named Apicius, who wrote about this dish that sort of uses like layers of thin pancakes with this fishy stew. And you layer it all together in a dish and you cook it in the dish. And it's sort of similar to what we think of when we think of lasagna. There's also a Greek word, laganon, which refers to a dough that's sort of cut into these long, thick strips. So a lot of people think that that's sort of where it came from. But there are a lot of theories out there. It's hard to nail down the exact origin.
Do you have a sort of ultimate lasagna construction that you go for?
My favorite always is the really classic, sort of what you described, a rich, meaty bolognese with bechamel sauce. That's always my favorite. It's so classic, so comforting. Takes a little bit of time. You want to really develop the flavors in your bolognese, but it's so great when you nail it and you just have a whole tray of that lasagna in the freezer ready to go.
My lasagna's never made it to the freezer. But you're right. I mean, I made that kind of lasagna every day for almost 30 years. It's the ultimate. Now, when you make that, what kind of noodles do you use?
I often just use the store-bought curly kinds. I have tried, of course, over the course of writing a book about lasagna, I've tried many, many lasagna noodles. I've used wonton wrappers in a bind, like on a weeknight when there's nothing else in my refrigerator to use. With fresh noodles, as we talked about earlier, it has a really delicate kind of eggy chewiness to it. I usually gravitate towards the traditional store-bought curly-edged noodles, though, that you have to boil beforehand.
Yeah, I've always found those, for me, just a bit too thick. And I find the new no-boil noodles to be a really good substitute for fresh pasta when either you don't want to make it yourself or what you have available to you isn't really very high quality.
Yeah.
I really wonder where those dried wavy lasagna noodles come from because I've actually never seen them used in Italy.
It's really wild, though. When I was testing the recipes in this book, the difference in height between any one of these lasagnas made with the curly noodles versus fresh noodles, it adds like an inch and a half of height to it.
That's true. It's absolutely true. So in the book, which is lovely, such a beautiful little gem, there's a large swath of different types of lasagnas to be made. But are there elements that you always need to keep in mind so that when you cook it, you have enough moisture and you have enough cheesiness so that you get the kind of result you want?
Yeah, there are a few guidelines for sure. A few of the recipes in the book don't have a cheesy topping, and there are a few workarounds for that. Usually you want a little bit of moisture on top, and you want to cover the lasagna to keep it from drying out too much on top. But generally, what I like to keep in mind is putting a layer of sauce down on the bottom of the pan, and that just kind of helps prevent becoming this kind of like cement stuck to the bottom of the pan. It just helps that layer pull up a little more easily. You want to make sure, if you're using the no-boil noodles, you want to make sure every part of the noodle is coming in contact with a little bit of moisture. And that's because in the oven, it needs to be in contact with a little bit of sauce or some kind of moisture in order to cook through. And you want to make sure you have a layer of either cheese or even like a little brush of olive oil or heavy cream works on top, just to make sure that the top doesn't dry out and get kind of leathery.
Sometimes I will be served a lasagna in which the use of tomato sauce has been kind of overkill, where it's no longer like a bound thing that you can cut in a slice, but it's more sort of like swimming. Do you have some ideas about how much sauce is the right amount of sauce?
You want a thin enough layer so that it's really covering every inch of the noodles, but without any excess sauce, I would say. Another important thing, just to make sure your lasagna doesn't come out totally soupy, and this one's really hard, it's really a good idea to let it sit for like 15 minutes at least once it comes out of the oven. Because I have totally cheated and cut myself a slice when it comes out of the oven right away. And it's always just too melty and liquidy. But letting it sit for a few extra minutes just helps it solidify a little bit. The noodles absorb a little more of the moisture. The ricotta or bechamel firms up a little bit. And then you just don't have that totally soggy effect.
Okay, so let's explore some of the variations that you present. Carbonara lasagna, which just those two words together sound kind of like heaven to me.
Yeah, I mean, some of these were just a really interesting challenge. I knew that I wanted to put a carbonara lasagna in the book because carbonara is one of my favorite pastas. But it's kind of this tricky thing. Like, how do you put eggs in a baked casserole and still get that creamy richness that you get in a carbonara from the creamy egg yolk. So the way we get around this is that you crisp up some pancetta and some shallots, and then you mix that into the ricotta that forms the filling for the lasagna. And then after baking it for a little while, you kind of cut out these little, if you have a cookie cutter, that works great. I've even done it with a knife. You kind of cut out these little holes, kind of like you're making an egg in the hole. And you just dump a little raw egg in there and bake it until the egg is done.
That's crazy. So I need more information. Have you beaten the egg with pecorino or parmigiano?
No, it's not beaten at all. It's just totally kind of straight out of the eggshell. And the end result of that is really cool because you can cook it just until the white sets and the yolk is still a little creamy. And that way, when you cut the slices, you still have a little bit of the creamy yolk that gets distributed around.
Wow. Is there bechamel also in this one?
No, that one is just ricotta, a little fontina, and a little bit of parmesan.
Of all of these recipes that you compiled, which was the one that just kind of blew you away in terms of how it came out, how it was greeted, compared to what you originally thought it might be when you read the recipe?
Oh, there's a speedy skillet lasagna in the book that was totally the brilliance of Grace Parisi, who worked a little bit on recipe development for the book. And she had this idea that was, let's take a bag of frozen cheese ravioli and take a skillet and make a really quick one skillet tomato sauce and then make the lasagna straight in the skillet by just layering these raviolis. And it sounded kind of too brilliant to work, but it's really great. It's definitely the recipe that the most people I know have made and said that they really loved it.
So funny.
Yeah, it's so clever.
And I understand that you even have a dessert lasagna.
The dessert lasagna is a really funny story, too. That was contributed by taste contributor Allison Robicelli. And Allison had a bakery in Bay Ridge years ago. And it was sort of like right in the age of all of these stunt food items, restaurants kind of making these grotesque mashups in the hopes that, you know, the Food Network or different personalities would come and Instagram and do a segment about them. So she was kind of making fun of that whole idea, like making fun of the idea of a stunt lasagna. And so she made a Nutella lasagna, which has layers of hazelnut chocolate cream. It's topped with like a sort of lightly hazelnut tasting marshmallow topping. It started as totally her just making a joke, but it really took off. It became the most popular thing at her bakery, and people lined up around the block.
Are the noodles actual noodles?
Yeah, they are just your standard store-bought curly-edged lasagna noodles.
Wow, fascinating.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for creating this easily digestible little book.
Thank you so much for reading it.
That's Anna Hiesel, senior editor at Taste. She and her colleagues have assembled nearly 50 of their favorite recipes in a cookbook called Lasagna. Coming up, more pasta talk for World Pasta Day. Patricia Escarcega with a report when we return.